You're listening to Here and Now on 90.3 WPLN. Fort Negley was a symbol of Union occupation during the Civil War, but for decades it's been hidden in plain sight, largely overlooked despite being in the middle of Nashville. Now, city officials have picked a developer who wants to rework the old Greer Stadium while honoring the nearby Union stoneworks. But resistance has been fierce, with critics saying the development will erase, not preserve, Fort Negley's legacy. To explore the history of this contested site, we're re-airing a story reported by WPLN's Nina Cardona in 2012, which was the 150th anniversary of the site's construction.
Looking north from Fort Negley, you don't just see downtown Nashville. You stand higher than the tops of its tallest buildings. From their perch on what was then known as St. Cloud Hill, soldiers could look in any direction, protected by walls made of large stones quarried from the hill itself.
I imagine it would take at least two people to put that stone on that wall.
Bobby Lovett points to limestone boulders, each too big to put your arms around.
You know, I know I couldn't lift it, you know, without breaking my back.
The historian has spent years studying the people who hoisted and stacked those rocks. He says many were better educated than you'd think, thanks to clandestine schools. Some had been born free, but most had been slaves, and all of them were black. Nashville fell under Union control early in 1862, and as the Yankee troops in navy blue marched into town to the sound of their regimental band, little boys with dark skin and bright smiles ran through the streets ahead of them, crying out the good news.
The Union Army, with it comes freedom. So everywhere they had gone so far, fugitive slaves were essentially free.
Once the army settled into Nashville, more blacks came, leaving behind slavery on farms and plantations across Tennessee, even coming from neighboring states. They were called contrabands, and state historian Walter Durham says the northern soldiers didn't know what to make of them at first.
They were fighting a war. They didn't know they were dealing with this serious social problem.
Technically, their policy was to treat the contrabands as free. In reality, the army saw them the way the slave owners had, a source for heavy manual labor that could be worked very, very hard. And by August of 1862, when it was time to start building defenses around Nashville, so many contrabands were already building and repairing railroads and bridges that Lovett says the Union was desperate for more black workers.
They eventually just sort of ignore part of the Constitution, to tell you the truth, and they start impressing people.
Anyone who looked black and strong enough could be forced into service.
They knew the best place to get them is, we'll get them on Sunday. They just simply wait until the search services are good and loud, and the cavalry surrounds the little building, and they march able-bodied person out.
Men and women, too. Children as young as 13, adults as old as 55, all forced to march to the top of St. Cloud Hill and put to work for the Union Army.
Conditions are miserable. There are no outhouses out here. So you can imagine the place didn't smell too good.
They were not provided with provisions and often just slept on the ground. They didn't have tents.
It would probably be just like slavery, you know, that saying, slaves worked from can see to can't see.
They're just not regarded as human beings.
From sun up to sundown, mid-August through early December, digging, dragging, lifting, moving, blasting, and cutting with armed northern soldiers as overseers. Roughly 3,000 were pressed into service. About a quarter died from disease, injury, or exposure. Building the fort was as deadly as going into battle would later be for black soldiers. And then, about a month before their work was complete, Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest attacked supply lines near the city. Union officers fired a cannon.
Bam, bam, you know, all these artillery going off. And so they ask, can they help defend their creation, the fort?
The black men weren't allowed weapons, so they formed lines armed only with picks and shovels. As bad as life was on the worksite, Lovett says they knew the Confederate policies for dealing with captured blacks were worse.
They ought to be returned to slavery, and these people working on this fort are not about to be returned. They know they better die, or they better die fighting.
Thankfully, it never came to that. That day's skirmish didn't reach Fort Negley's walls. When construction ended in December of 1862, the workers were allowed to go. Compensation for their work was slow in coming, and many never got any pay. Some fought for the Union Army once it started accepting black troops, and quite a few stayed in Nashville, living in squalid, undersupplied contraband camps that they eventually transformed into thriving neighborhoods like Edge Hill, Edgefield, and Jefferson Street. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Nina Cardona.